Well, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Genesis 4, beginning in verse 1. 1 through 5. At this point, Adam and Eve have been cast out of the garden. They rebelled and they were disobedient to the word of God. They ate of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now we come as the story progresses in the book of Genesis here in Genesis 4. In verse 1 it says, "Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I've acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." So here we see that Adam and Eve begin to start their family. Do you remember how it was when you were married and maybe before you had kids? I know Diane and I, it was 4 years before we had Kelton. And it was a great time of getting to know each other. Some of you, like my parents, it was, you got married, you had kids. Well, Adam and Eve now, they're out of the garden. They're out of, in a sense, from God's presence as it was before. And now they decide they're going to have a family. And so they began, and the firstborn is Cain, and the secondborn that we know of is Abel. And I remember, you know, with Diane and I, when we started the family, when we decided we wanted to, my wife, we were ready. We were ready. And I remember the first time when she got pregnant, I went to the church and I told everybody. And then we ended up having a miscarriage on the first attempt. And I remember how discouraging and frustrating and hurt, and that was very painful for that to happen. But God was faithful and he brought Kelton, our firstborn, into our lives. So Adam and Eve start a family. The firstborn's Cain. The secondborn was Abel. And then when they get older, they take on a career. They take on what they are going to do with their lives. And we see that the older, Cain, was a tiller of the ground. He was an agricultural, which is what? A farmer. He liked to work with his hands. That was the career either he chose or he was thrust into. Sometimes we make a choice in the things we do. We maybe go to college or not. Or other times we just have to survive and we get a job. So Cain either chooses or he's thrust into this position where he likes to plant and grow things. And then we come to Abel. And Abel is a keeper of the ground. He is a shepherd, a keeper of the sheep. And so he takes the sheep, and I think of like a shepherd, I think of David who watched the sheep, was also a shepherd. Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. So we see two brothers, two sons to Adam and Eve, and they are in these careers, and now they come to God. And they come to God to offer a gift, an offering to God. And the first one comes, and they come before God, and we see that as they come to the Lord, Abel comes, and he offers his firstborn. I asked the kids today in Sunday school, what's a firstborn? They're like, well, the oldest, you know, when we think of my firstborn, it is Kelton. Well, to the sheep, it's the first, you know, child or first baby that they've had. And so Abel gives the firstborn of his sheep to God. And then there is Cain. Cain comes and gives some fruit of his harvest, of his fruit, to God. And it's interesting, we see two offerings, two kids, two children, two brothers coming to God and offering these gifts to God. But we also see two responses by God. The first response is, it says that God accepted Abel's offering, and he respected it, accepted it, and then we see that God did not accept, he rejected Cain's offering. Why did God accept one offering over the other? There's one possibility, is that some say in the commentaries that because Abel offered a sacrifice of sheep, that it was acceptable to God. And if you remember when Moses, I mean, when the law was written, and we come to the book of Leviticus, when they started the sacrificial system to deal with sin, what would they do? They would sacrifice sheep. They would give blood of the sheep, and that would be a temporary covering for sin. And that happened until Jesus Christ came, who is the perfect Lamb of God. So maybe that is a possibility. But I believe there are two other differences between Cain and Abel's offering. First, it was an issue of their faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 4, it says this: by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. What stood out to God was Abel's faith. His faith to God stuck out to God. What is faith? We see in Hebrews 11 a description of faith in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's something we hope for, and it's the evidence of something we don't see. Well, if you jump up to Hebrews 11:6, it gives, I think, a better description of what faith is. And it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Abel's focus, his faith, was on God. He was a diligent seeker of God, and God rewarded his faith. Faith is what stood out to God with Abel. Abel's gift, and then we see here, Abel's gift reflected his faith. So we have somewhere God saw Abel's faith, he put his faith in God, he was a seeker of God, and because of Abel's faith, he gave a more excellent offering to God. It said in Genesis 4:4, Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat to God. He gave God the first ones that were birthed, the firstborn of his sheep to God. Now let's go to Cain. Cain did not have this kind of faith. Yes, he came to God. He offered fruit to God. But it wasn't his first fruits. Remember in the Old Testament where there's the command to give God your first fruits. Just imagine you plant a harvest and the first fruit you give it to God as a form of worship. But Cain, it wasn't his best. He just gave some to God. Cain gave his leftovers to God. Abel gave his best to God. Cain's gift reflected his faith. How many of us give our best to God, or do we give our leftovers to God? Like, for example, when you wake up in the morning, say Monday morning, tomorrow, you wake up, what comes to your mind? Maybe tomorrow you have a doctor's appointment at 10:30. Maybe you need to get to the grocery store and get some food for your evening meal, right? We all face these decisions every day. Maybe you're meeting a friend for lunch. Your car has brakes. Brakes are making noise, so you need to take it in and get it checked. Where is God in your plans? Is God a top priority? You know, in my own life, over the last months, God has been changing my priorities. My priorities here at Grace Crossing Church, and beginning to change my priorities at home. You know how busy life is? It's like life goes by and boom, that week's gone. There are a million things to do. It can be overwhelming. So we must choose our priorities. That's my own challenge, is the priorities of my focus here as a pastor at the church has changed. And God's beginning to change my priorities in my own life that need to change, because there's a million different things that need to be done, but I need to place priorities on the most important things that need to be done. As a Christian, God must be our first priority. Do we make room for him? Do we make room for him before other things in our lives? What things in your daily life do you need to give up to make God a priority? Our culture, we're just busy. The old days where people sit on the front porches and just sit around and talk to their neighbors is going away. When are we going to start giving up those things that distract us that should not be a priority and start focusing on what is most important? Maybe you need to give up sports. Maybe you need to give up school activities. Maybe you need to give up these things so you can spend more time with your family, more time with your friends, more time with the Christian community. Give up these things, because you know what? When you get older, your kids aren't going to remember all these little things. If anything, they'll remember you and your walk with God. That's what they'll remember, the things that really matter. That's what I remember. Well, my mom and dad, my mom's been passed away for about 5-6 years. The big thing, I remember a lot of those things my mom did for me. But the most thing that stuck and changed my life was her walk with God. I'm listening to the book on Audible right now called The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And that's by John Maxwell. And he talks about that we need to put together a growth plan. How many of you have a growth plan? A plan. These are some areas that I need to grow in. Now, we call them New Year's resolutions. That's not a growth plan. That's a little feeling we have at the beginning of the year, but we don't do anything about it. A growth plan is an intentional plan. Say, if you want a growth plan, that's your growth plan to get in shape, and that's something that you need to for your health. How would you do that? The growth plan would be this. I need to lose weight. I need to get to the gym. How will I make that happen? I'm going to talk to my spouse. I'm going to talk to my friends. Okay, I want to make a commitment. I'm going to get to the gym these days this week. Will you hold me accountable to it? I'm going to make it happen and do it. How many, I want to do this, I want to do that. And we go with life, and life flies by, and we never get anything done. We need to put together a growth plan. And I've been, looking over my own life, and you know what? I don't consider myself a lazy person. If you've seen me at work, I'm a hard worker, my boss loves me, I get paid well, I'm here, I clean the bathrooms, I'll do whatever it takes, I'll get things done. But God's been convicting me, I'm lazy in my free time. I'm lazy with what I do with my extra time. Am I taking that time to grow? And my wife and I are discovering that if we just make it from day to day, you really don't accomplish much. You just try to survive. It's like you get onto a buoy and you grab on for life, and that's life. Instead of intentionally thinking, this week as a family, we're going to do this. This week, we're going to, you know, I've been starting to teach your kids how to spend time with God. So I'm off, I work for the church Wednesday and Fridays. And so on those days, okay, kids, I want you to go off, spend 15 minutes with the Lord. We'll get together and you tell me what God is saying to you. I'm starting, that's one of the growth plans I want in my children. We have to be intentional, or I found out that I look at my life, and honestly, I look at my life, and I've done a lot, and I look at how much waste of my life. God wants me to grow and become the person He wants for me, but I just go through hoping, and I have no intentional plans for growth, and the only way I will truly grow as God wants me to grow is plan intentionally and do it. Yes, you'll have trials and you'll grow. That's accidental. Things come and you'll grow. So a circumstance happens at work, you may grow. That's not the type of growth I'm talking about. I'm talking about choosing to grow in leaps and bounds as you say, these are the areas I need to grow in. I'm running for it. I'm intentionally going for it. And I'm going to grow in that area of my life. Donald Kaufman wrote this religious verse. Listen to this. And it's talking about regret and remorse. How many of us will come to an end of our life with regrets and remorse because of things we missed out on? Because why? We weren't intentional. We just grabbed that buoy and went through life with no plan that's the mountaintop I'm getting to and I'm going for it. We just go and survive from day to day with no intention to change. This is what Donald Kaufman wrote. It's called Sometimes. Across the fields of yesterday, he sometimes comes to me. A little lad just back from play, the boy I used to be. He smiles at me so wistfully when once he crept within. It is though he hoped to see the man I might have been. If we don't choose to grow intentionally in areas of our lives, if we don't choose right priorities, we will look at our life to what we might have become. I don't want that. I'm not going to have that. I look now at my life and I see areas where I've done that and I get, man, I wish I'd go back and do it over. But no, what's awesome with God is we can start today. It does not matter your past or what you've done with God. When you walk with Him and repent and turn to Him and make right priorities, the past becomes void with God because He loves to make new. That's awesome. Our God wants to make new. He wants to change us now. And what's awesome with our God is we could have all this past that we think we regret, but we go now for Him, and people will remember you, not for what you were, but what you are now in Him. And that's the awesome God that we serve. It's time that we stop making excuses. Here are some quotes I came about excuses in our lives. There's an American proverb that says, quote, excuses are merely nails to build a house of failure, unquote. Benjamin Franklin said, quote, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else, unquote. George Washington Carver said, quote, 90% of failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses, unquote. You know anything about George Washington Carver? I remember my mom teaching us about him. He was a black African-American inventor, very ahead of his time. He lived from 1860 to 1943, and he encouraged poor farmers to plant peanuts and sweet potatoes. Now, I don't know why you'd ever plant sweet potatoes. They're gross. Okay, I know some of you guys like them. Sorry, my wife likes them. But you know what? With peanuts, he created 105 recipes using peanuts to show the importance on how they could grow peanuts. Henry Ward Beecher said, quote, "Hold yourself responsible for a higher standard than anyone expects of you. Never excuse yourself," unquote. When you schedule your day, your time, is God a priority? Is he a priority that you intentionally make? Don't go by how you feel. Do you feel like getting up in the morning? I know. We have to get up to go work. Do you feel that you love your spouse all the time? If you do, you're not going to be married very long. If you go by how you feel, you choose through intention. And God has given us the ability through his Spirit to choose intentionally to do things. Will you do him? Will you do it? Will you place him as a priority of your life? Or are you giving the enemy into the enemy and giving into excuses? Tomorrow I'll do it is an excuse. Maybe later is an excuse. I'll do it in a couple weeks is an excuse. Today is the day to begin to change. And your walk with God, it can start right now. I'm not giving to my feelings, I choose. You guys choose to make it to the football game. I bet you some people that never miss any of the basketball games. Oh, do you feel? Do you just go by how you feel? You go to that, but what about God? You begin to choose for God, you begin to want to choose more for God. You choose it first, and God will begin to birth that desire more with him. Well, what about Sunday mornings when it comes to priorities? Is God a priority? Do you prioritize coming to church to worship and encounter God? Or does it just fall leftovers? If I feel like it, if it's convenient, if I'm not tired, if I'm not too... Oh, those are excuses, aren't they? I talk about priorities and excuses. Oh, I'm going through a hard time, I'm feeling well. You know, the enemy can make you not feel well. The enemy can make you depressed. The enemy can make you feel like just down that morning. The enemy can throw things in your open, and we give into it because it's not an intentional priority. Here's a big question. Does God deserve your worship? He deserves your worship every day. But we take one day where we come in obedience to God, God's word, to come together and worship God, to hear his word and have fellowship. Yet many of us, don't do it. God deserves our worship. He deserves priority. I came across a story this week called The Mayonnaise Jar and Coffee Story. Has anyone ever heard that? The mayonnaise, okay, well, you did in Sunday school. This professor in philosophy took this empty jar of mayo. You know, sometimes you get those really big ones, and it was empty. And he stood before his philosophy class, and he began wordlessly to pick up this jar and to put golf balls in it. And he filled this jar until it was full. And then he asked the students, was the jar full? And they agreed that it was. Then the professor picked up a box of pebbles. These were rocks, put in there, the pebbles go down in. He filled it up with pebbles. Then he asked the students again if the jar was full, and they agreed it was. Well, then the professor picked up a box of sand and went over, and the sand went around the pebbles, around the golf balls, and filled it in. He asked it again, is the jar full? And unanimously, yes. Then the professor took two cups of coffee, and got it, and he went back through there. And by this time, the class is laughing. And he says, hey, is it full? And they're yes. Now the professor, as the laughter subsided, he said this, I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. The golf balls are the more important things, family, children, health, friends, God, or spirituality and favorite passions. Things that if everything else was lost and only these remained, your life would still be full. The pebbles are the other things that are matter, like maybe your job, house, or car. The sand is everything else, the small stuff. If you put the sand in the jar first, he continued, there's no room for the pebbles or the golf balls. The same goes for life. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you'll never have room for the things that are important to you. So pay attention to the things that are critical to your happiness. Play with your children. Take your partner out for dinner. Play another 18 hole. There will always be time to clean the house and fix the disposal. Take care of the golf balls first, the things that really matter. Set your priorities. The rest is just sand. And one of the students raised their hand and inquired what the coffee represented. And the professor smiled. I'm glad you asked. It just goes to show that no matter how full your life may seem, there's always room for a couple of cups of coffee with a friend. What are your main priorities? Take everything away. In this one book I've been going through on leadership, is write down all your priorities, all the things that you do, and focus on even just three or four of the priorities and give your passions to those priorities. And if you have a little extra time, maybe a little extra. Focus on God. Focus on family. Focus on friends and those things that God shows you. Cross those other things out and say, that's not important. That sport's not important anymore because that's in the way and that's sand. Is God your first priority? When you receive your paycheck from work or the government, is God your first priority? Whew, this is a hard one for me. My first priority, man, I have bills to get paid, my mortgage to get paid. Do we come to God and say, God, I'm not talking about a tithe here. I'm talking, God, this is your money. Now, this is hard. God, this is all your money. What should I do with it first? Do we give God the first fruits of our money? Listen to Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be full, filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I don't know about you, I like to fill the plenty and your vats overflowing with new wine, don't you? Give God your first fruits. Give them the first. Deuteronomy 26:10 says, now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. I don't think we realize this. I'm learning this, starting to learn this. I just went through Dave Ramsey series. It was on my radio in my car, so I went through like over 40 episodes of listening to Dave Ramsey when I was driving. And he's a Christian guy. And even the thought came to me it'd be fun to do a series, Dave Ramsey financial series here at the church. It's been beginning to change my family. We're figuring out how to make it part of our lives. And one thing, when he talks about money, he says, you know what? Everything you have is from God. But we don't look at it that way. Oh, I earned it. It's mine. Everything we have, the very air we breathe, is from God. The money you have, the job you have, I think we'd be surprised, is from God. The money is God. See, when they gave the first fruits, it was worship. When we give our money, when we give our time, when we give God our priority, it's worship. Does God deserve our worship? Does he deserve the first of our time, the first of our Sundays, the first of our money? Obviously, yes. Or do we just give God the leftovers like Cain. Abel gave that which is important. He was a seeker of God. He gave the firstborn of his animals, of the sheep. Cain gave God his leftovers. Which are you? Do you give God your leftovers or do you give God your best? What you give God reflects your faith, how strong you are with God. You can pretend all you want that you're a strong Christian believer in Jesus Christ. If you give him your leftovers, that's your faith. And I'm not saying this is perfect. It's not like all of a sudden you give God everything the next day. It's learning to choose to give God the first in one area and then do the next area and the next area. So I'm not like up here. I don't have it together. I fail many tons of things. I can spend all morning telling you about my failures. But I'm beginning to change in this area, and I'm going to make God my priority in this area. And when I get there, I'm going to start making God priority here and start changing how we look at things. We give him the leftovers of our time, if we do it at all. We give him the leftovers of our Sundays, if we go at all, if we feel like it at all. We give him the leftovers of our money, if we have enough. God will not accept this type of offering. Here's another way to look at it. If you are having, I asked the youth the Sunday school today, if you have a famous person in your house, Crystal, who would you have? Famous person, any person you want come in your house for dinner. Okay. Anybody else? If you had someone famous come in your house, would it be Brooke Garth for you? No? Who would it be? No? You went to a concert, I know you guys went to this concert when it was a couple years ago. Huh? Not him. Okay, what would you have, Bo? Oh, that would be good. Yeah, okay. If you have a famous person come to your house for dinner, who would it be? Oh, I know, no one wants to say Jesus because that's too spiritual. So, no. Okay, someone live now. Let's make it a little more simple. Someone live now, who would you have in your house for dinner? Huh? Queen Elizabeth? Okay, they come to your house. What kind of dinner would you prepare for them? My house? You guys know we're foodies. We like to eat. And that's why, right? Foodies. We like to eat. Well, what we would do is, if it was that important, I'd probably just put it to my wife and help her. I like to cook as well. So she would probably, knowing her, do you guys like, is anyone here like mushrooms? Some people do. My wife, I don't think she's made it since we've come here hardly at all, maybe once. She makes a killer sausage, mushroom stuff with sausage, and you cook it. Oh, it's awesome. I can imagine my wife making an appetizer like that. Then she'd make a specialty salad. She has this one special salad with poppy seeds and strawberries cut up. She'd make the special gourmet salad. Then we'd probably make something like homemade carnitas. We love Mexican food. It's our favorite food. She'd make carnitas. And then I would close it off by making French crepes with vanilla ice cream, Nutella, and a homemade raspberry sauce and whipping cream on the top, homemade whipping cream. That's what we would do. And we might even go further, but we'd make something we know works because you don't experiment on a guest, right? That important. Right? What would you make? Yet, how many of us do this with God? Jesus comes over unexpectedly. We open the door. We know he's been asking that he wants to come dine with us. And what do? Oh, come on in, Jesus. I don't expect you. Oh, yeah, I wanted to. Excuse. I was going to. Excuse. Oh, come on in. And he comes into our house, and what do? We know he's there for dinner. And what do? We open the refrigerator, and we take out some leftovers. We go to the microwave, put it on for a couple minutes, and we give it to Jesus. I'll tell you this morning, God loves everyone here with a passion. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to break the chains in your life. But honestly, he doesn't want your leftovers. He wants you. He wants your love and devotion. He wants devotion. He wants your faith to be in Him. What area of your life are you giving God the leftovers? See, God doesn't want to point out the areas of sin in our life just for the fun of it. He's not an angry God and wants us to be miserable. He loves us and wants to free us from the chains of sin. He wants our faith to grow. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to know Him. See, God did not respect Cain's offering for a reason. He wanted Cain's faith to grow. And there was something wasn't right in Cain's life, and God wanted to do something in Cain. And as we will see next week, Cain didn't give into it. He's going to kill his brother. He let anger fester. And we'll talk about that more next week. What do we need to do today? If you're the person here today and you say, Reed, I'm giving God my leftovers in these areas of my life. What do we do? How do we stop giving God our leftovers? I'd say the first thing is we need to encounter God. When you encounter God, when you encounter His Spirit, you don't want to give Him the leftovers anymore. The problem is God is either far away or He's so small in our thoughts that we feel like we give Him our leftovers and He's okay with it. If we encounter the living Spirit of God, we begin not to want to give Him our leftovers anymore. We want to give Him our best. It is my heart and vision for us here at Grace Crossing Church is that we would encounter God's love in a fresh way. The more I understand, begin to understand the depths of God's love, the more I want to obey Him and walk with Him and put Him first. When we experience His presence and His love, things begin to change. We want to give Him our best. But how do we experience God's love? Reed, you're saying, if I experience God's love, I want to give Him my best, my leftovers. How do I experience His love? And it comes down to simple two words. Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us God's love. Because God's love is not only experienced at salvation, God's love and depth is to be discovered through our entire life. We need the Holy Spirit to unravel God's love in our lives, to reveal the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12 says this. We have the worship team come forward. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by Him." We want to know who we are in Christ and God's incredible depths of love. We need a fresh filling, empowering of the Holy Spirit. Right. Today, do you need a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit? A fresh charge. Our batteries are low. We need to plug into the receptacle to get some energy. We need the Holy Spirit so we can know Jesus. And through knowing Jesus, we know the Father, right? They're going to be closing this song, and it's saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Is He welcome in you? Do you want to give Him the best and stop giving Him the leftovers? today's the day. Today is the intentional day to change. Will you do it today? Let us worship Him.